Amen. Let us pray. Oh, loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. And on this Sunday before Christmas, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin but became sin unto death on a cross, so that we may have the hope of eternal life. We thank you. And as we celebrate in the busyness of Christmas, we pray, Lord God, that you'll be in our hearts, that you will remind us that you were born, Lord Jesus, born to die for the sins of the world. We thank you. And now speak a word for us, a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of joy, and a word of love during this season where those words mean so much to us. Speak it again in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Yes, and I was just thinking about how much, you know, the Advent words mean to us, or should mean to us, right? Love and hope and peace and joy. Love is the fourth word of Advent. And how much we need that in the world, how much we need it now, how much we've always needed it. I know you have all heard, and we have heard in the news about that gentleman, the dancer, who everybody seemed to have known, the nicest man. I remember seeing him dancing, if you think you can dance, or something like that. And then they said he was, you know, they called him Twitch because he could move his body so much. He was on the Ellen Show, I'm told, and a very good dancer, seemed to have everything, a wife, three kids. One would imagine, you know, financial means and all of that. Yet he would get up and go to a hotel at 40 years old and kill himself. I wonder, I don't know him, but as I thought about the story, because it was over and over again on the news, how many folks in their hearts, all the material things in the world, does not give you that hope and peace and joy and love. And that mental illness is so prevalent in our nation. And I'm glad that you're talking about it now. It is no more a taboo. We could talk about it and say people are hurting. You know, they have that service called Blue Christmas, right? That I used to go to the Catholic Church, and Father James was here, Blue Christmas, where people are so down during the holidays. And why? Because they've lost loved ones and all of that, that they miss. They're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed in times when people are shopping and they can't shop, and overwhelmed because we always look sometimes at people's lives and it seems better than ours. You always look at someone's life and says, oh, there's a husband and a wife and children and a white picket fence and whatever, all the things people look at, and it's so much better. And then sometimes we compare our lives to them, and then we get overwhelmed and depressed. I always say to folks, be happy for what you have, because you certainly don't want my stuff, because you couldn't handle it, because all of our stuffs are different, right? And so we have to pray really for peace and hope in the hearts of humanity, that folks will find the help they need during this Christmas time. And he's not the first, and unfortunately, only because he's known, popular, famous, quote-unquote, why we hear about it. There are many folks who are hurting now, and there are others that may do it. Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy, Lord. And so we want to remind folks today that Emmanuel, God is with us. Even in the darkest moments, I like that picture because it looks so dark. It's black, yet it has that white writing and that streak of light, reminding us that the light of Christ is in us. Emmanuel, God with us. And so let me begin with this. Let me read this reflection for you. And it says, Jewish family finds the Messiah. I wanted to say as I begin that, and I was listening last night to the history of the Bible. It was on one of the PBS channels. Very, very series of shows of historical facts with professors and everything. But one of the professors said, and it's so true, we Christians and Jews have great commonality, right? We do. We believe the Messiah has come and will come again, right? Because the peace on earth that we're looking for and desiring is really not here yet. Peace is in our hearts if we accept Jesus Christ. But the peace in the world isn't here yet. So we believe that the Messiah came, and if we accept Jesus Christ, the peace is in our heart. But the peace, we still live in a fallen world with his wars and rumors of war. And the Jewish people believe that they're waiting for the Messiah. For in their understanding, when the Messiah comes, it will be total peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in the world. And so we are in commonality as they begin Hanukkah. We are, you know, we are the same Judeo-Christian that we believe that Jesus already came. And they're waiting. And that the Jewish people have waited for the Messiah for years through persecution. The writer said, I mean, I wish I could have taped it, but I'm going to Google it. He said that there have been so many different messiahs who came before. And then persecution to the Jewish people. With the bubonic plague, the Jewish people were killed off in Europe. Because they said they brought it, because they dressed so funny, and they would always be waiting for the one who would what? Take them out of captivity. And that one would be the Messiah. As we also celebrate the coming of the Messiah and know that he'll come again. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Emmanuel. God is with us, right? There is Emmanuel with an I that says God with us, and Emmanuel with an E, God is with us. We want to remember that. So this little reflection says Jewish family finds the Messiah, and they're Jewish family who will wait till the Messiah comes again, and they're those who have accepted Christ. And this story I saw last night, this reflection, talks about such a family. Stan Telchin, a successful Jewish businessman, felt betrayed when his 21-year-old daughter, Judy, called home from college to say, I believe in Jesus the Messiah. Of course, he was shocked. He's Jewish. Judy's conversion through the Telchin family into philosophical chaos. Stan, in an effort to prove his daughter wrong, began an energetic quest for truth. The search for answers spread to Stan's wife, Ethel, and to their other daughter, Anne, who were both angered, perplexed, then curious about Judy's radically transformed behavior. Can you imagine you're a Jewish parent and child comes in and says, I found the Messiah? I'd be angry, wouldn't I? Right? They've been living their lives. When the search created friction between Stan and Ethel, they agreed to pursue their studies independently. So now they're going to be looking for truth, right? Because it has now become an intellectual, you know, search. Months later, Stan accepted an invitation to attend a national convention of Messianic Jews. He's trying to find out about this Messiah that his daughter, found. He planned to work the convention just like he was used to doing with his business. He's going to work it to figure out what's going on. He said, I intended to meet with anyone who I thought could help me, always probing for more information. After a series of meetings, Stan lay awake in his dorm room thinking about his journey. He had arrived at a point of crisis. If the Bible was true, Stan is asking himself, if the Bible was true, and he had concluded it was, then he really did believe in God, in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He also admitted to himself that he believed in the Bible as God's inspired word. But he couldn't quite say the words to himself, Jesus is the Messiah. Couldn't say it. He asked his roommate Art to pray for him. Art obliged, praying simply, God, give Stan your peace and resolve his inner conflict. Next morning at breakfast, one of the men at Stan's table asked him to pray before the meal. Startled by the request, Stan bowed his head and said, Praised be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. I thank you for the fellowship and the friendship at this table. I thank you for what we have learned at this meeting. I ask you now to bless this food, and I do so in the name of Jesus the Messiah. And for a moment, he sat there amazed at what he had just prayed. It had not been planned. The others at the table didn't miss it. Their faces were suddenly jubilant. Stan said to one of them, you're a believer. And one by one, they each got up from their seats and hugged Stan. Several cried with joy, and Stan began to weep as well. He wasn't sure how his wife would take the news, but he just had to call her. Instead of his carefully crafted speech, he found himself blurting out, Ethel, honey, it's me. It's over. I've made my decision. Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. There was a pause on the other line as Stan held his breath. Then his wife's voice came back softly. Thank God. That makes it unanimous. We have all been waiting for you. Stan's entire family, his wife and both daughters, had also made their decision to trust Christ as the Messiah. They had each been praying and waiting patiently for the Holy Spirit of Christ to draw Stan into a relationship with himself. Amen. Now, all stories don't end like that. We know that. All stories, families, the Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah, and it's between them and God, right? It's between them and them believing that the Messiah will come, and this Messiah will come again for them. Because we must remember the Messiah came for them first, and then we were grafted in. And so, as we look at the text today, I think about Joseph. You see, friends, we are more like Joseph. We are not like Christ. Here was Joseph. Joseph had to come to the realization that Emmanuel, God, is with them. Because here's that story that Joseph was told, right? He was told, and the children have done that little song and program. Joseph was told what? That he should what? Marry Mary, right? Because she's with child. Not to worry. And he had never had relationships with her. They had been engaged. And here is Joseph, an ordinary man, having to trust God. Having to trust God, that God, the angel of the Lord, came to him and told him and said to him, Emmanuel, God is with us. Friends, God is with us today. God was with us then, the people of Israel then, and God is with us today. God will be with us tomorrow, the next day, whether we believe or not believe, or in doubt, or in fear, or in confusion, or been disappointed, God is with us. We can't stop God. Next slide. And so, Emmanuel, as I said earlier, is the Hebrew name, which literally means God is with us. It combines the Hebrew expression with us, and one of the words for God, El, that derives from Elohim, a Hebrew word that denotes God. That God himself would be with us. Amazing it is, isn't it? And sometimes when we pray and we say, oh Elohim, it's the Hebrew word for God. God is with us. Next slide. And God is Elohim. Elohim is the infinite, all-powerful God that uses his works to show that he is the creator, sustainer, and the supreme judge of the world. That is the God who would consider you and me and consider the sin of the world, the creator of the entire world, would wrap himself in baby clothing and come to live in our hearts, come on earth to save us. When you think of Elohim as creator, sustainer, supreme judge, we think of each of us individually. One writer says, if Jesus were born 1,000 times in Bethlehem and not in me, then I would still be lost. That means if Jesus was born over and over again and not born in our hearts, then we would still be lost. Is Jesus born in us today? Do we really believe it, friends? When we put aside all the shopping and all of that, do we believe that Jesus is in our heart? That he lives in our heart? And that we want him to be closer to us? And to be drawn closer to him on this day. And so today, friends, you have heard the story. You know the story of Jesus and Mary's birth. So today I want us to do something different, a little bit different, to invite Jesus again into our hearts. And so we're going to do a prayer to Emmanuel. We will be reading it slowly. And the prayer is on the Emmanuel. You'll see it. And we will read it together slowly. Take a minute just to reflect on that word, what it means to us, and then we'll go to the next one. Asking Emmanuel to be in our hearts, right? To be revived in our lives. Right, so that we can feel the peace and the hope and the love and the joy that we need, and we don't walk away from church and are depressed and overwhelmed. Because sometimes people are sitting in the pews looking at you, and I'm looking at you, and you don't know what each of us are going through. We're weary and depressed. And so let us begin, and we will read slowly together. Loving God, the day of celebration is upon your people. As we anticipate your son's birth, we ask you to help us consider that Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, is already here among us. That God is with us, Jesus our Emmanuel. Next slide. E for expectation. Let us pray. Let us begin. Emmanuel, show me how each one of my days, not just Christmas, should and can be filled with the expectation of all you want to do in and through my life. Restore to my heart the constant wonder and anticipation of your living in me. M for mercy. Emmanuel, the Father's great gift of mercy, was given to me through your birth, life, death, and resurrection. I am now living as a person who has been fully forgiven and redeemed. How thankful I am for the sacrifice you made so that I might live in freedom and victory every day of my life on this earth. M for mindfulness. Emmanuel, I want to be intensely aware of your presence each and every moment. Help me to sense your nearness at all times and in every circumstance, whether good or bad. Draw me close, Emmanuel. I will fix my eyes upon you. A for adoration. Emmanuel, you are the one my heart longs for, and I give you praise and honor and glory, and offer up my whole self as a living sacrifice. My lips will sing your praise every day, not just this day. I adore you as being in control of everything. And for nations, Emmanuel, you are the king. You rule the nations of the earth. You came for every single person on this earth. Use me for your purposes so that I might be part of the fulfilling of God's promise to you to seek and save the lost, Lord Jesus. You for understanding. Emmanuel, I long for an even deeper understanding of all that you are. I long to know you more intimately than ever before. I want to have a greater awareness of your character and to be more yielded to the working of your spirit within me. And E for eternity. Emmanuel, because you have set eternity in my heart, what an amazing gift. Help me to live today in the light of eternity. I continually be praying and acting so that on earth, as it is in heaven, becomes a reality in the midst of those who interact with me. And then L for love. Emmanuel, you are the gift of love sent from God, the Father, to me and all of humanity. Your greatest commandments are to love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love others as myself. May this be a continual reality in my life as long as I live. Amen. And so we have invited Emmanuel again to be in our hearts, friends, so that it is more than things and more than work, but it's about relationship with Jesus. That we think again, it is more than the baby in the cradle. It is about a relationship with the one that could change our circumstance, the one who could bring us peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding. When things seem so bad and we don't know how or what to do, he'll bring us peace. The peace he'll bring us is a peace that the world cannot give us. As he says in his word, I leave you peace. The peace that the world cannot give us, only he can give us that peace. In the midst of sickness and sorrow and pain, the Lord will give us peace. He'll give us hope. When our circumstances look bad, our situation look bad, we will have that hope. That hope that's built on nothing else. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That hope that in the midst of lack and need, we still have that hope that our tomorrows will be better. We hope that we live to see 2023. We hope that it will be better for us. We hope that if we're praying for healing, that we will be healed. We hope that if we're praying for our children, those who are suffering from depression, those who are on drugs, that they will be healed in the name of Jesus. We hope. We hope that the loved ones that do not know Jesus and the pardon of their sin, that we're praying for them, that they would accept him. We hope. And we continue to hope because the Lord is with us. And then we have the joy of knowing that he came into the world. And that's why we can sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. We have that joy to know that beyond everything in the world, no matter what, and if we were to leave this place this day, we have the joy of knowing that we have eternal life with him, friends. That's our joy. That's my joy, to know that if I was caught up to meet him right now, if God was to call me home at this minute, that I will be caught up to meet him in the here, as Paul says, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, to have that joy, that unspeakable joy. The prophet says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The joy of knowing that the Lord is with us. And then we have that love. That love that no matter what we are, who we are, what color we are, what size we are, what colors are here, how much money we have, what is our economic status, who loves us, who doesn't love us, that we have a Savior who loves us more than we can ever imagine or think, that he would lay down his life for us. Friends, I pray that during the rest of this season, you will hold on to these words, that God is with you, that God lives in your heart, that God surrounds you, that no matter what it is, God promises never to leave you nor forsake you. And now that you have invited him in your hearts again, he's there, always and forever. Amen. And so, Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen.